comfort and privacy of your home. The healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. And if medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. ED used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/America today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/America. GetRoman.com/America.
The Alaska Department of Transportation reminds you work continues on McGrath Road. Starting this Saturday, August 29th through the weekend, McGrath will be a one-way only with single-lane traffic from Farmers Loop to Willow Grouse Road while they pave. Pedestrians will travel McGrath using a pilot car during the day and a path by night. Daytime pedestrian traffic is limited to northbound traffic. While traveling McGrath, please follow all traffic control signs and message boards during the weekend's paving operation. For more information, go to alaskanavigator.org.
Glass Doctor is known as the home, auto, and business glass shop. But what do we mean when we say home? At Glass Doctor, we fix your panes, but we do a lot more than just window panes. How about a custom glass shower enclosure? Or add a classy glass top to your kitchen or coffee table. Mirrored walls or just a bathroom mirror? Yes, we can certainly replace that broken or fogged insulated unit and more. What can we do for you today? Find out more at glassdoctor.com.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your panes.
News and conversation. KFAR 660 AM Fairbanks. K248DK 97.5 FM Fairbanks. The heartbeat of Alaska.
A deadly hit from Hurricane Laura. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. Rescue crews navigating a lot of debris in Louisiana, where Laura made landfall as a Category 4 storm. Fox's Evan Brown with more live.
At least a part of the extensive damage, especially in southern Louisiana, is the destruction of public utilities. Power outages are widespread, but the water is off, too.
We know that there are a number of water systems that are down because of power loss and potentially other mechanical problems as well.
And that's why Governor John Bel Edwards says many areas now have a mandatory water boil order in effect. The state also now reports two deaths. One is a teenaged girl. The other is an older male. Both deaths were caused by trees hitting homes. Lisa.
Thanks, Evan. At a FEMA briefing moments ago, President Trump saying he hopes to visit the Gulf Coast this weekend. The Wisconsin governor asking for help from National Guard troops in several other states, though a fourth night of protests over a police shooting in Kenosha was peaceful. Fox's Jeff Manasso live in Wisconsin.
Lisa, a smaller crowd on the streets last night in Kenosha following chaos and shootings the three nights before.
We're working hard to keep the citizens of Kenosha safe and to investigate and stop lawless behavior. And that's only by a small group.
Kenosha Police Chief Daniel Miskinis, National Guard troops from Arizona, Michigan, and Alabama are now assisting Wisconsin soldiers. Hundreds of federal agents also on the ground here. Meantime, state investigators have named the officer who shot Jacob Blake as 7-year-old veteran Rustin Chesky. The state also says that Blake had a knife in the car he was entering as he was shot. Lisa.
Well, Jeff, taking questions from reporters about Kenosha, President Trump says it's not good when a sports league becomes like a political organization. The NBA playoffs and several baseball games postponed yesterday due to player protests. The NBA just confirming no games again today. America is listening to Fox News.
Bria's Fashion Boutique is the worst. First they asked me if I needed help finding anything. Just because I'm gorgeous doesn't mean I need help.
No matter how hard you work for your small business, online reviewers will find something to complain about.
Then they tell me they're having a sale. Oh, so you're assuming I'm poor. Cool.
And while Progressive can't save you from these trolls, we can help you save money on commercial auto and business insurance.
Also, they tried to give me the friends and family discount. I'm not your friend, so...
Get a quote online today at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliated and third-party insurers.
So who is your wireless provider? AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile? The average person is saving $400 a year by switching to Pure Talk USA. Pure Talk is on the same network, same towers, just 50% off in terms of price. Right now, get unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data for just $20 a month. Switch to Pure Talk today. Now, from your cell phone, dial #250 and say Pure Radio. That's #250, Pure Radio, Pure Talk USA, simply smarter wireless.
extend the life of your car or truck. Keep it in top shape with Rogers Auto Repair. Rogers is a complete auto shop. They do it all. Tune-ups to winterizing. Even engine and transmission rebuilds right on the premises. Depend on the people with experience and a sound reputation. They've been helping folks from the same location near the airport on Dale Road since they opened in 1967. Call family-owned and operated Rogers Auto Repair and be their next satisfied customer. Call 479-6665. Rogers Auto Repair. Hunters, roll out to your secret spot with confidence this season. Have your magic carpet to the Alaskan Dream serviced by Arctic RV. Alaska plays rough with motorhomes and toy haulers, campers, bodywork, and appliances. Arctic RV goes through the nitty-gritty so you won't have to. Wheel bearings to wiring and lights. See their huge selection of RV parts as well. While you're out begging that bull, beg yourself a good night's sleep with help from Arctic RV. Book your appointment now. Arctic RV. Rough it in style.
Hi, Steven Auto Trim Design here. I'm still doing yard work, fishing in the river, and enjoying the warm weather. Yet we all know that old man winter is just around the corner. Now's the time to get your Auto Start moose lights and heated seats before the big rush at Auto Trim Design. Make an appointment today at Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman. And remember, as Bob says,
we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
It's time again for Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio with the latest news and conversation related to firearms and your Second Amendment rights. Sponsored by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. And now, Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in throughout the hour to join us, 458-8255. 458 Talk. What is on your mind about firearms today? It's another great day in Fairbanks. The sun is trying to overcome the clouds. It's 55 degrees here at the studio. I think outside and inside it's cold in here. And the lovely Melissa is at the board making sure that everything runs smoothly. Thank you, Melissa. Now, what's on our agenda today? Now, listeners, you know you can call in anytime with whatever's on your mind about firearms. If I can't answer it right away, if I don't know something, I will definitely look it up and give you an answer next week. Glenn Miller and his wife Suzanne donated another Gift of Fear book by Gavin DeVecker. The first listener to call in today gets a copy. And Lee, I'm sending you a message here over the radio. You've got to call me. My number is 907-590-2904. I now have two books to send you, The Gift of Fear and Personal Protection Outside the Home. Now, I have several topics planned for today. First, we'll talk about our firearms vocabulary and how we refer to the guns in our lives. And after that, I have a fascinating realization about the .46 caliber Ghirardoni air rifle that Lewis and Clark took with them on their 1804 to 1806 expedition. And then if we have time, I want to talk about the newer CZ-457 model rifles. Now, I always like to talk about what we celebrate on this date, but all I could find is that today is National Lottery Day and National Just Because Day, mainly because there isn't anything to celebrate, so celebrate just because. So we'll just leave that and move on to a topic that Joe Nava was passionate about. And after our program on holsters 2 weeks ago, this topic actually generated a few private comments to me from listeners. The word weapon was used quite a bit on that program. And many of you probably had in the back of your mind, goodness, what would Joe have said? And I thought the same thing. But I don't want to tell guests what to say. We all have different backgrounds and experiences, and some of us will refer to an object differently than others. I didn't provide a style sheet or any guidance on terminology we use on our program. I may do that in the future. I'm still thinking about if that's necessary or not. In classes, I often have a number of students who are currently in the military, both male and female, and they do call their firearm a weapon. They call their firearms a weapon every day, maybe many times a day, and that term is ingrained in their lexicon. And because we're in a classroom setting, I might suggest to them that instead of the word weapon, that they use a less connotative term like firearm or gun. But I'll do that only once. We all know it takes more than once to break a habit. As more and more Americans purchase guns for self-defense rather than sport, I do notice in conversations and in articles and on radio programs, the word weapon is being used more and more. And I want to take a little time here so we all understand the negative connotation we give to the public when we use the word weapon, and why that word doesn't clearly define our intended use. To start out simply, Webster defines the object weapon as, quote, something such as a club, knife, or gun used to injure, defeat, or destroy. And therein lies two issues. The first has to do with the terminology to injure, defeat, or destroy. I think we know that not all of us plan to use our guns for that purpose. We shoot bullseye matches, USPSA matches, that's United States Practical Shooting Association, IDPA matches, International Defensive Pistol Association matches, high-powered rifle matches, cowboy shooting matches, on. And Glenn told us last week that the Alaska Machine Gun Association holds machine gun events. All of this is sport. And I believe we can make a case that hunting is sport, too. We're participating in a fair hunt for meat. In keeping with Webster's definition, when we hunt, we're not trying to injure, defeat, or destroy an animal. So the first thing we need to be aware of is that when we're talking to the public about a tool we use to hunt with or equipment we use to participate in our sport with, we don't want our conversation to be wrongly construed because we use the word weapon. Now, here's a mental picture for you to create while I'm talking. Imagine this. You're talking to someone you just met, and they don't know you, and you say, I just bought a new weapon, and I'm really excited to try it out. Now, continue that mental picture. What do you think this person you're talking to, whose background you don't know, and they don't know you, is now imagining? Well, perhaps when you said the word weapon, they immediately imagined that you bought a knife or a baseball bat or a crowbar and that you intend death and carnage, and their perception of you is now negative. Now, that's a little bit of exaggeration, but I'm trying to make a point because they read Webster and they know the definition of the word weapon, and they know a weapon can be a number of different objects. Maybe they start to slowly back away from you in fear before you injure, defeat, or destroy them. So what is important is clarity. We want to be sure the people we talk to are clear, crystal clear, on what we're talking about.
We have a caller.
Oh, great. Okay. Caller, this is Laura. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, yes.
Did you guys just make an announcement for the search for Frank Minano on the radio?
No, we didn't. Is this something we should know about?
Yes, it is.
Go ahead.
I'm Frank Minano's niece from Indiana, and he went missing on Monday the 17th, Monday night.
Yes.
We started searching Tuesday morning down at Standard Creek Road off of Old Indiana Highway. On Saturday the 29th at 10 a.m., we're organizing a huge person response for a grid search down there.
Okay.
We're looking for at least 300 people to show up, volunteers, to start doing group grid searches.
Okay.
And we just wanted to get it on the air so people knew about it and they would come help us look for him.
Thank you for calling. I'm very sorry this is happening. I did read about it in the newspaper. I know that intersection there in Old Nanana and Standard Creek. Is this somewhere, who do people contact, or do they just show up, or what do you want people to do?
We want them to show up 10 a.m. Saturday. If they need a contact person, they can call myself. My name's Rhonda Vaden. My phone number is 907-978-2955. I also have my aunt, Karen Lord. Her number is, let me look.
Okay.
Sorry. I want to make sure I say the right number.
Okay.
Her number is 907-388-9408.
Okay. All right. I really appreciate you calling in, and you might want to call in next week and give us an update. I hope it's a good update. And
me too.
I hope those of you listeners who have time to come and search will do so. Thank you so much for letting us know.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, as I said, Webster's dictionary definition of a weapon is defined with examples such as a club, a knife, or a gun. So if we use the word weapon when we're talking about how does the person, if I'm actually looking at the time here, we're about to go to commercial. Let me just finish this thought. So if we use the word weapon when we're talking, how does the person know what we're talking about? All right, we're going to break for commercial, and then I'll come back with some more interesting thoughts on this.
Going camping, it's like visiting an old friend. There's always some new thing to experience. There's a sense of adventure that tickles your imagination, yet there's something so comfortably familiar. The smell of the crackling campfire and sipping that first steaming cup of coffee fresh from the percolator as you lounge in your favorite camp chair. Breathe the free air and dewdrop silence of the early morning stillness. Going camping, it's dependably familiar. Always surprising. Gear up and go with Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Hi, Steve at Auto Trim Design here. I'm still doing yard work, fishing in the river, and enjoying the warm weather. Yet we all know that old man winter is just around the corner. Now's the time to get your Auto Start moose lights and heated seats before the big rush at Auto Trim Design. Make an appointment today at Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman. And remember, as Bob says,
we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
The Valdez Fishing Report, brought to you by Copper River Wild, Alaska's premier dip-netting charter boats out of Chitna. Look up Copper River Wild on Facebook. Make your reservations and get ready to limit out with Copper River Wild. Fish on!
It's fishing time in Valdez. Stay tuned for the Valdez Fishing Report, packed full of sound advice.
This is Lori Prox here with Micaiah Sanker. And Micaiah, you reeled in a 224-pound halibut, and the picture of you at the weigh-ins just looks like you're so surprised.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was unreal. It was a lot taller than I was.
Have you ever gone halibut fishing?
I have been halibut fishing. I'm from Fairbanks, but I haven't been down here probably since I was a little girl, like 10, 15 years ago, and that was the last time I went out.
And tell me about catching this monster halibut.
So we went out on the halibut grove with Jason, and we're just fishing, and we'd been doing pretty well. When I started reeling it up, we realized that all the lines had been kind of tangled, so there's like three lines tangled, and we're like, oh, okay. I'm like, I think I might have a big fish. He's like, okay, well, just keep reeling it up. And I was like, I'm reeling it up, but the line wasn't going in and it wasn't coming out. So he adjusted my tension, and then I started reeling it in, and then we got it halfway up, and then he untangled the lines, and then I got it all the way to the surface. I didn't realize the magnitude of what kind of fish it was until he told me. He's like, this is the biggest fish I've caught in 17 years of doing this, Micaiah. I was like, no way. So we got to the surface. It was actually not that bad of a fight. It was like about 20 minutes in total.
The fishing is great in Valdez, Alaska. It's also a beautiful place to get out and explore the waters of Prince William Sound. Cast from shore or spend the day on a charter. Have your catch processed and shipped fresh right from the harbor. Stop by the Visitor Center on Fairbanks Drive for more information on accommodations, tours, events, culture, and everything Valdez has to offer. Discover more at ValdezAlaska.org.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
Copper River Wild, Alaska's premier dip net charter and tour company, working right out of Chitna. Look them up on Facebook under Copper River Wild and book your reservations now and get ready to limit out on the Copper River with Copper River Wild.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz. Please call in 458-8255, 458-TALK, and tell us what's on your mind about firearms today. Now, right now, we're talking about the word weapon and its meaning. Kyle Carrington, who gives the law lecture portion of my Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit class, uses a wonderful example, and I hope he doesn't mind if I repeat it here. He'll say to the students, "How many of you drove your deadly weapon to class today?" And the students will look a little bit confused at one another until they realize, yes, a vehicle can certainly be used as a deadly weapon if one is drunk or killing someone is the driver's intent. And then Kyle will ask, "Could your hands be used as a deadly weapon?" Of course they can. The bad guys, the criminals, can certainly use their hands to choke or otherwise kill someone. And I could keep going here, but my point is that a lot of objects we use on an everyday basis or for other endeavors, knives, baseball bats, ropes, matches, all of these are specific items that, if we call them by their proper title, will connote an intended use to the person we're talking to. And when we talk about firearms, we should use that term. Firearms, or guns, or handguns, or pistols, revolvers, or semi-automatic handguns. We might even refine that and say, my concealed carry gun, or my personal protection gun. Because these are not weapons. We are not carrying them with the pre-intention of injuring, defeating, or destroying anything or anybody. We're carrying our concealed carry gun or personal protection gun in case we cannot avoid a threat and have to stop the threat. And listeners, it's getting more difficult to overcome the connotation of weapon in self-defense training. One reason is that our personal protection guns are often referred to in print and in general discussion as CCW. Even some classes are titled CCW class, concealed carry weapon classes. And worse, the NRA now has a set of instructional curriculum that NRA instructors can use modules of to teach their concealed carry handgun permit classes. And their NRA titled the curriculum CCW. Yes, they succumbed to the market pressure and used the W word, the weapons. In fact, I did attend one NRA class a few years ago where the instructor specifically told us not to bother correcting students who use the word weapon. So to me, all of this is wrong. I'll often talk about my bullseye gun, my trap gun, my grouse gun, or sometimes I say my Pardini, my Browning Satori, my Featherweight, my 870. I'll refer to a gun for its intended use, or I'll use a specific model, or I'll say handgun. Now you get the idea. I won't say weapon. I know Joe Nava felt it was wrong to use the term weapon when discussing firearms in general. And I know a number of persons involved in firearms in Fairbanks think that's wrong. If I said weapon, you would not know what object I was talking about. And depending on how well you knew me, you might think if I used the word weapon, I then had nefarious intent. And for those of us who address the public about firearms, I believe we have a responsibility not to feed into their fear of mass killings, robberies, and the like by using the word weapon. I think we owe it to our sport to use the proper name of the object. Now, You know how I feel because I've just told you, but I realize some of our listeners may feel differently and we're all entitled to have our different opinions. So if you think it's okay to use the word weapon in general to describe all that we do with different firearms, please call in 458-8255 and tell us why you think that's okay. Share your thoughts. Now, about 2 weeks ago, I had a phone conversation with Brian, one of our listeners. And as we reminisced a bit about the Shooter's Corner programs that Joe Nava used to do, and we miss Joe, Brian mentioned a program when Joe discussed the large caliber air rifle that Meriwether Lewis used on the Lewis and Clark expedition in 1804 to 1806. And I remember Joe briefly talking about the use of an air gun by the Lewis and Clark expedition on that program. But I think the main conversation was about hunting large game with current day air rifles. I think someone had called in and asked a question about that. So when Brian and I hung up the phone, I started researching the gun Joe had been talking about, though he didn't mention the name of the gun. I found it was the 46 caliber Ghirardoni. It's G-I-R-A-N-D-O-N-I. I'm pronouncing it Ghirardoni. If I'm wrong, somebody can call in and correct me.
We now, have a caller.
Oh, we have a caller. I wonder if they're correcting me already. Caller, this is Laura.
Hi, Laura. This is Rich.
Hi, Rich.
Last winter, my wife and I took the Canadian permit to carry course.
Yes.
Canadians feel very, very strongly about using the word weapon. If you use the word weapon going into Canada, they will take your guns away from you.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. I remember that course. I helped make that happen. I wasn't able to attend it. Yeah.
Yeah, they ask you what you're there for if they hear that word mentioned.
So
they get very upset about the fact that you're...
That's interesting. I'm glad you called in to tell me that. So we all know that now. And by the way, I think we may be able to give, we haven't talked to the gentleman yet, but I'm thinking there's some demand for that class again, probably not this year, but maybe in the future we'll be giving another one of those sets of classes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So there you have knowledge of what not to say in Canada. All right. So during their travels, Lewis and Clark used the air rifle, this particular air rifle, to demonstrate to the Indian tribes the powerful medicine the expedition had. And they called it a wind rifle. Now, this 46 caliber Ghirardoni, quote, could put a lead ball clean through a 1-inch pine board at 100 yards, unquote. Now, there were 50 or so Native American tribes that the expedition came in contact with that saw the wind rifle could put holes in trees. They were shooting at trees then, not pine boards. And it is thought that it was quite likely that the American Indian tribes let the expedition pass peacefully rather than lose warriors to that Ghirardoni. And this is where it gets interesting, and another example of how when researching, I often end up somewhere else than where I thought I would. I started out thinking this would be a discussion about the mechanics of the rifle or large caliber air rifles, but I realized there's a much more important story here, and that is how demonstrating the 46 caliber Ghirardoni to Native American tribes allowed the Lewis and Clark expedition to travel across our nation and back without any warring incidents with these tribes. And that success eventually led to doubling the size of landmass of the United States. Now, Lewis and Clark's mission was to explore unknown territory, establish trade with the natives, and most importantly, affirm the sovereignty of the United States in the region. And if there was a waterway leading all the way to the Pacific Ocean, they were tasked with finding that. They were paving the way to expansion by laying claim to land, mapping their route, and helping make it possible for settlers to move west. Now, to quote Paul Schrierer, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that. It's S-C-H-I-E-R-E-R. He's a firearms historian, and I also believe he's a book writer on behalf of the NRA, National Firearms Museum in a YouTube video that I watched. It was called National Firearms Museum Treasure Gun Ghirardoni Air Rifle as used by Lewis and Clark. Quote, the expedition went from east to west and back, discovering and claiming over one half the landmass of North America for the United States. And they did it with basically a parlor trick. It was the perception of peace through superior firepower, unquote. Now, for general firepower, I read that most historians think the expedition members were outfitted with model 1803 54 caliber flintlock muskets. But there's some disagreement on that, and it could have been two other models. The model 1803 was considered state-of-the-art at the time, and it had just been issued to the Army. And as I mentioned, the expedition recorded encountering about 50 Native American tribes, and it was Lewis and Clark who developed a, quote, first contact protocol for meeting new tribes. Now, the first encounter they had was with the Lakotas, and that went well. Quote, one reason, recalled Private Joseph Whitehouse, was the fact that Lewis gave a demonstration of their experimental air gun, which was fired by air stored under pressure in the gun's butt, unquote. So let's talk about the history and mechanics of this 46 caliber Ghirardoni air rifle before we go any further. I read that the earliest example of this type of gun dates to about 1580 and is on display at a Stockholm, Sweden museum. And over the years, these pneumatic guns were used by very wealthy persons in Europe, hunting large game such as deer or wild boar. And around 1780, a Tyrolean gunsmith, his name was Bartolomeo Ghirardoni, developed, and I'll quote, a rugged new model air rifle that was soon adopted by the Austrian military. Produced in 46 caliber, the Ghirardoni was a quantum leap forward in weapons technology, unquote. That's from the War History Network website. The Ghirardoni was 4 feet long and weighed about 10 pounds. And I read that that was about the same length and weight of conventional muskets at the time. We're going to go to our half-hour break, and I'll finish up around the corner. Stay with us.
Was ragtime cowboy Joe. He got his name from singing to the cows and sheep. Every night they say he sings the herd to sleep
in a bass voice rich and deep, crooning soft and low.
He always sings raggedy music to the cattle as he swings.
The voice of the Golden Heart City. We are KFAR Radio.
I'm Rich Dennison. At least one death is blamed on Hurricane Laura, a 14-year-old girl
who died after a tree that fell on her home. If there is any good news in all this, the governor says that the storm surge so far has been about half of what was projected on the coast.
Fox's Jonathan Seri. The storm is still producing damaging winds and heavy rain throughout Louisiana. The FDA has approved a $5 coronavirus test produced by Abbott Labs, which plans to deliver millions of the kits to medical professionals next month.
And it's said to deliver quick results in about 15 minutes. The test uses a nasal swab and searches for virus proteins and is intended to be used for patients within 7 days of feeling coronavirus symptoms.
Fox's Jenny Casola. U.S. coronavirus deaths are now approaching 180,000. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska State Health data indicate Pacific Islanders and Alaska Natives are more likely to contract the coronavirus and be hospitalized with the illness. Alaska Public Media reported culture and economics can contribute to the disparity. Data indicate Pacific Islanders in Alaska have contracted COVID-19 at about 8 times the rate of the rest of the population. Alaska Natives are more than 1.5 times as likely to contract the coronavirus. Officials say the groups are more likely to live in crowded, multi-generational housing where the virus can easily spread and that customary community gatherings can also contribute to infections. And finally, a 37-year-old Fairbanks man was arrested early Wednesday morning after he allegedly shot a man in the chest at a South Cushman area home. The Daily Newsminer reports Russell Norman Carroll is charged with felony first-degree assault. He was arraigned in Fairbanks court Wednesday afternoon and is being held at Fairbanks Correctional Center on a $115,000 cash performance bond. The victim is in his mid-30s and is expected to make a full recovery. Anyone with information about the incident is asked to email fpdinvestigations@fairbanks.us or call 907-450-6550.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hunters, roll out to your secret spot with confidence this season. Have your magic carpet to the Alaskan Dream serviced by Arctic RV. Alaska plays rough with motorhomes and toy haulers, campers, bodywork, and appliances. Arctic RV goes through the nitty-gritty so you won't have to. Wheel bearings to wiring and lights. See their huge selection of RV parts as well. While you're out begging that bull, beg yourself a good night's sleep with help from Arctic RV. Book your appointment now. Arctic RV. Rough it in style.
Hi, Steve at Auto Trim Design here. I'm still doing yard work, fishing in the river, and enjoying the warm weather. Yet we all know that old man winter is just around the corner. Now's the time to get your auto start moose lights and heated seats before the big rush at Auto Trim Design. Make an appointment today at Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman. And remember, as Bob says,
we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Call in at 458-8255-458-TALK and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today. We've been talking about the Ghirardoni air rifle that was taken along on the Lewis and Clark expedition. And I'm in the process of describing the mechanics of this gun. Now, the butt of the gun was an iron flask covered in leather that could be detached, pumped full of air, and then refitted to the gun. It held up to 800 pounds per square inch of compressed air. For comparison, an automobile tire holds an average of 32 to 35 pounds per square inch, or maybe a larger truck tire might hold 50 to 60 psi. Each Ghirardoni was fitted with three of these iron flask apparatuses. They're the air reservoirs, so you could change them out as you needed. And the rifle came with a kit, all the tools one needed to operate it, encased in a leather roll-up, kind of a large pouch. The kit even included a bullet mold, so you could make your own lead balls or recast them as needed in the field. Now, it would take about 1,500 strokes of a bicycle-style pump mechanism contained in that kit to fully charge the rifle. The gun could be loaded with 22 lead rifle balls, and these were propelled out of the muzzle one at a time by controlled bursts of the compressed air. And the 22 lead balls were first fed into a loading tube that sits alongside the barrel. The gravity, or the gun, is gravity fed. So when you're ready to put a round into battery, you'd press a lever on the side of the gun and one ball would drop into the breech chamber. Then you'd cock the gun, pull the trigger, and repeat the lever process. Now, I read an advantage to this rifle was that the user did not have to stand. They could lie down and just point the muzzle upward for the gravity feed process to work. Oh, we have a call. All right, caller, this is Laura.
Hello, Laura. This is Glenn.
Hi, Glenn.
Good morning. And so I wanted to thank you for the great talk on the terminology on weapons.
Oh, thank you.
That's something that's been long overdue, I believe. But, yeah, thanks for that, and thanks for the information on air rifles. But one thing that I wanted to mention, because it is hunting season, we're coming up on hunting season, and I know you normally bring up the safety rules and remind us all about that, but being as we're approaching hunting season very rapidly, a lot of people are going to be taking to the field, and unfortunately there's accidents that occur out there every year. Just a reminder for hunters that one of the safety rules is keep your firearm unloaded until ready to use.
Yes.
And, you know, that, of course, you know, when you're moose hunting, you don't necessarily have to have a round chambered. You can have ammunition in the magazine, but it's always a good practice to keep the chamber empty until you're actually ready to shoot. You see a moose, you verify that you want to shoot it or whatever you're hunting, and keep that firearm unloaded. And a lot of accidents can be prevented every year just by simply keeping the firearm, the chamber, unloaded until you're actually ready to fire.
Oh, you're absolutely right, and I really appreciate that. It is hunting season. Absolutely. We're getting there very quickly.
So, all right. Well, thanks for the show. And
See you at the end. You'll be back on the program the end of September. So
we will be, yes. Yeah. And we'll be talking about more reloading topics.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Okay. Stay safe, Glenn. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
Bye. Okay. And I have been negligent every once in a while about reading the safety rules to you on each program, and I will be sure and get back to doing that. Now, I also read that this Ghirardelli air rifle would fire 40 times, so 40 lead balls, before it started to lose velocity. It was said to be very accurate, and the barrel was rifled. And as I mentioned, one of those 46 caliber round balls could put a hole completely through a 1-inch pine board at 100 yards. There's no smoke, and the operation was impervious to rain, which could destroy gunpowder, and that was a problem in those days. So both of those, no smoke and no wet destroyed gunpowder, were advantageous in European warfare at the time. But when these rifles were issued in European warfare, they did have some logistical disadvantages. First, as I mentioned already, it took 1,500 strokes on the pump to get the flask reservoirs filled. So one pump was issued to two riflemen. And I didn't read how this would work, but I'm thinking while one was pumping air, the other was shooting, and they would change out the air flask reservoirs. But I don't know that for sure. So there were three flask reservoirs per gun, and that was a lot of pumping air. Second, there were additional large-scale wheeled air pump carts that had to be placed behind the lines. And third, specially trained gunsmith had to be assigned, and they assigned one gunsmith per each 100 riflemen. And fourth, the guns required very specialized parts for those days. I read the conscripts at the time were generally peasants, and they could not grasp the concept of maintaining the rifle properly. And the fifth and last issue was the air flasks. They were frequently mishandled. And I read some fully charged flasks could explode, or they did explode, when exposed to heat or direct sunlight for long periods of time. And sometimes the leather seals dried out and rendered the firearms useless. So even with all of that, the Ghirardelli was considered exceptionally effective during the Austro-Turkish War. That was 1787 to 1791. The Ghirardelli was retired, completely phased out by 1810. And that would have been in the middle of the Napoleonic Wars, because they were from 1803 to 1815. But I did a little research, and I read that this Ghirardelli was not used at all in the Napoleonic Wars. They used other firearms. But, and this is a quote, at least one Ghirardelli, however, crossed the Atlantic and played a major role in a pivotal period of American history, unquote. And that's the gun we're talking about today. So that brings us from 1780, when Ghirardelli invented the gun, through 1810, when it was retired. So it was in use about 30 years. But it was sometime before 1804 when that lucky Ghirardelli air rifle that made it across the Atlantic was purchased by Meriwether Lewis here in the States and joined the Corps of Discovery, the Lewis and Clark Expedition, from May 14, 1804 to September 23, 1806. So let's talk about the significance of this gun to the United States at the time and how it may have shaped our destiny. First is a disclaimer. I have not read Lewis and Clark's published diary I would like to. And I have not read Undaunted Courage by Stephen Ambrose, which is a book about this expedition. It's Stephen Ambrose who raised the questions about the importance of the Ghirardelli rifle. Most of the information I'm sharing comes from articles on Warfare History Network's website and the NRA National Firearms Museum video by firearms historian Phil Shearer and a few other articles and videos that I watched to put this together. Now, Shearer says, quote, and this is a long quote, "Why is this gun perhaps one of the most historically significant in the whole world? If you read Undaunted Courage by Stephen Ambrose about the Lewis and Clark expedition, you'll find he is asked a question three times during the course of the book that he can't answer himself. He said, how did these guys manage to get from St. Louis to the Pacific Ocean and back again without any major loss of life? How is it that any band of Indians didn't decide to overwhelm them and take all their rifles, pistols and cannons, their powder and shot, and then make war on neighboring Indians with basically an arsenal that would be unsurpassed for perhaps the next 50 years on the plains? How come the Indians didn't squash these guys like a bug and put an end to it and take everything they had? There were only 36 to 38 of them at the time. They could have been easily overwhelmed," unquote. Now, Shearer goes on to tell us that Lewis and Clark mentioned this air rifle 39 times in their diary. And each time they mentioned it, it's mentioned in the exact same manner. And Shearer thinks this is the key. The fact that Lewis and Clark mentioned this gun so many times, the key to why the expedition was not overwhelmed by the Native American tribes. So here's a quote from Shearer's video. "Every time they came across a tribe of Indians, they did the exact same thing. They put on their swallowtail coats, unfurled the flag, got the drums beating, fifes fifing, and paraded into the Indian camp in their full Class A uniforms. They gave the chiefs bolts of cloth, beaded necklaces, large coins, and then each and every single time, Lewis demonstrates the air rifle. He shows the Indians he has a large caliber, highly accurate, very effective, repeating gun." That's key, repeating gun. "That doesn't smoke or go bang when it goes off. To the Indians, as he wrote in his own journals, they found it to be of great amazement and great wonderment and something from the gods," unquote. We're going to go to commercial break and I'll finish up around the corner.
Extend the life of your car or truck. Keep it in top shape with Rogers Auto Repair. Rogers is a complete auto shop. They do it all. Tune-ups to winterizing. Even engine and transmission rebuilds right on the premises. Depend on the people with experience and a sound reputation. They've been helping folks from the same location near the airport on Dale Road since they opened in 1967. Call family-owned and operated Rogers Auto Repair and be their next satisfied customer. Call 479-6665. Rogers Auto Repair.
The only way to deal with the weather on any hunt is to be ready for it before you go. Visit Frontier Outfitters, keeping hunters dry and comfortable for decades with rain gear by Helly Hansen, field wear by Scent Blocker, shirts, vests, coats, and pants by Browning, boots by Danner and LaCrosse, socks by Smart Wool and Fox River. You're covered head to toe, warm and dry. Your successful hunt starts at Frontier today. Clothing to tents, camp gear, and more. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Hi, Steven Auto Trim Design here. I'm still doing yard work, fishing in the river, and enjoying the warm weather. Yet we all know that old man winter is just around the corner. Now's the time to get your Auto Start moose lights and heated seats before the big rush at Auto Trim Design. Make an appointment today at Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman. And remember, as Bob says,
we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
Weather brought to you by GCR. They've got Cooper and Bridgestone tires for everything you tow and every car, truck, motorhome, or SUV you drive. GCR Tires and Service are the tire guys taming the Alaskan road, Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR. Weather.
Should be getting a little bit of sunshine today, some patchy fog this morning, and then isolated thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs today in the mid-60s. More clouds and rain this evening, and then isolated showers after midnight. Lows tonight should be in the lower to mid-40s. Friday, mostly cloudy with isolated showers in the morning, and then scattered showers in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 60s. Saturday, mostly cloudy in the morning, and then partly sunny with highs in the mid-60s. And Sunday, partly sunny with, again, highs in the mid-60s.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in 458-8255-458-TALK and tell us what's on your mind about firearms today. Now, when I was reading that quote earlier, I said it's key that this gun, this air rifle, was a repeating gun. All right. Now, Shearer explains that Lewis never let the Indians see the end of the gunfire. They did not know if the gun could keep repeating forever. When the expedition moved from one camp to another, the Indians always wanted to see the expedition's provisions and supplies, and Lewis never let them see that. He kept his cargo secret, so the Indians did not know if the expedition had anything worth losing life over taking. And the Indians never knew if there was only one Ghirardoni air rifle or one for all 38 men on the expedition. Now, these rifles could shoot, as I said, 22 shots in less than 30 seconds if the person operating the gun was smooth with loading, cocking, and the firing process. And it might be that if the Indians thought, because they could not know for sure, that the expedition had 38 or so wind rifles that could all shoot 22 shots each in less than 30 seconds, it might mean the tribe would experience a great loss of life if they attacked and tried to steal them. And this is where Shearer makes his point, which I believed I talked about earlier, but it's worth repeating. Quote, "So when you look at this gun, you begin to understand the way it was used by Lewis and Clark, and it answers Ambrose's question. The expedition went from east to west and back, discovering and claiming over half the landmass of North America for the United States, and they did it with basically a parlor trick. It was the perception of peace through superior firepower," unquote. Now, please don't think this is the end of the story. There's another interesting story. After the expedition, the Ghirardoni that traveled all the way with Lewis and Clark seemed to have vanished. And many years later, a youngster was gifted a Daisy BB gun as a gift and fell in love with that air gun. And that Daisy BB gun stirred a lifelong passion for air rifles as this boy became a man. So stay tuned next week when I explain how Lewis and Clark's original Ghirardoni air rifle came to be bought by this air rifle collector. He didn't know it was the expedition gun when he bought it, and neither did the seller. Now, before this collector's death, he donated the Lewis and Clark Ghirardoni to the permanent collection of the U.S. Army War College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And that will be our story for next week. Now, remember, folks, I still have a Gift of Fear book that Glenn and his wife donated to give away if you're the person to call. And I think Rich was the first person to call, but he already has one. So I'm waiting for a caller to claim that. Let me talk a few minutes about CZ Rifles. Do any of you own CZs, the rifles? CZ is a company, for those who don't know, with headquarters in the Czech Republic. But they do have a United States distributor, CZ USA. It's in Kansas City, Kansas. They do sales, warranty, processing, gunsmith work now in the United States. About 4 years ago, I wanted a new .22 rifle for target shooting. And I purchased... Oh, we have a caller. Okay.
Hi. Wanted to see if you've given away that book yet.
Yes. No, I haven't. You get it. Give me your name.
Yeah, Jim Ward.
Okay. And Jim, let me give you my phone number and call me and leave a message. Make sure I have your phone number. And I will call you back this afternoon and get your address to send it to, because I don't want you to give your address out over the radio.
Okay. And what was your number again?
Okay. It's 907... 590-2905. 4, and I'll probably be back a little after 3, and I'll give you a call.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Congratulations. You're a winner. Okay. Now,
we have another caller.
Oh, we have another caller. All right, caller, this is Laura. Hello? Okay, well, I'll continue. Maybe they'll call back. So about 4 years ago, I purchased a CZ Model 455 Lux. Actually, I wanted an Anschutz Sporter, and I ended up purchasing my Anschutz Silhouette Sporter after the 455. Do any of you do that? You don't want to spend for the expensive gun that you really want, so you purchase a less expensive gun and then you're not happy. So shortly after that, you buy the more expensive gun anyway. Now you have two of them. I tend to do that a lot. Okay, so I have to say, those CZ Model 455s were nice rifles. They aren't Anschutz, but they are nice rifles.
We have another caller.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. This is Laura.
Hey, Laura. This is Tom Fowley. You're talking about your CZ 455.
Yeah.
And, a couple of years ago, I bought one of those, and I added a Legia match barrel for it.
Oh, okay.
And a CZ makes a nice adjustable, they call it, I think, a flyweight trigger.
Oh, right. Okay.
And I added that, and last year I won the senior games with that, with a 200-219X.
Okay. I probably saw you there. I was there helping Joe sell books.
Yeah, I remember seeing you there.
Yeah. No, that's wonderful. And, you know, Paul Mackey also shoots 455 there at the senior games.
Yeah, I also have a, bought a 17 HMR barrel for it.
Okay.
Another Legia barrel. And with that one, you can decide on where in the X-Wing you want to put your group.
Ah, Wow, that's really nice. Well, you know, I probably, if I don't get finished with what I was going to talk about today, I'll finish it up next week. But, you know, they have the new Model 457 out now, and so it has a completely adjustable trigger on it, and it's a very nice gun, but they're hard to get.
The question I have is that it still uses the same system. Will it use the barrels for the 455?
Yeah, it's my understanding that the 455 barrels will fit on the 457 model, that they're interchangeable. That's my understanding. I haven't tried changing one.
The only other quick question I have for you is, how do you clean your 22 match pistol?
My Pardini?
Pardoni?
Oh,
yeah.
It's been a while since I cleaned it. First, you're going to laugh. First, I have to look at the YouTube video a couple of times, and then I take it apart, and it comes apart very easily, and it cleans very easily. I don't do a lot of cleaning on that gun. So rather than me going to this long thing here, just Google cleaning Pardini, and you'll see some videos, and they lay it out pretty easily. It was easy enough for me to understand it. And it wasn't daunting to take apart or put together.
Yeah.
But what I do is every time I use it, I put a couple of patches through it, just a very, very little bit of solvent, hardly any. And I run those patches through on a nylon cord thing. And then maybe every seventh or eighth time I use that gun, I might take it apart and clean it. It doesn't get very dirty, and that's
okay.
That's I'm only shooting like 100 rounds a week, plus maybe 60 or 70 practice rounds in between if I have time.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Okay, but it isn't hard. I will say it took me a long time to get up the nerve to take it apart, but once I did, it was not difficult.
Yeah, I was just interested in what you're doing to clean the barrel.
Oh, the barrel. On that, I've just been using Hoppies. So, and I use the patches on that. I use a squeegee system, the Remington squeegee system on all my other guns. But on that, on the Pardini, I'm just using patches, and I use the nylon cord to pull it through rather than a metal rod.
Okay, great.
Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, all right.
Bye-bye.
So, let's see. I only have a few minutes left, so I'm going to finish up talking about the CZ and the models next week, because I want to say a couple things here in the last few minutes. First, I want to go over the safety rules. Always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction. Always keep your finger off the trigger until ready to shoot. And always keep the gun unloaded until ready to use. And when I teach class, we all say that out loud together. I want to leave you with a thought here. This is something to think about. It's a little bit negative, but I think we all have to think about these things. I know that none of us would purposely drive into a scene of these violent protests they're having in the lower 48. But let's say you found yourself in an area and you needed to be in. You were in that area for a legitimate purpose. And while you were there, protesters and troublemakers began moving down the street towards where you were, or you couldn't get past them to get back to your vehicle or where you needed to go. Now, most of you probably watched the video of the gentleman in Portland who was dragged out of his vehicle and beaten and kicked in the face while he was on the ground. I'm not sure why he thought he should be in that area in the first place. But I got to thinking what I would do. So I'm asking, what would you do if you were accosted by a great number of agitators? Let's say you had your personal protection gun on you. You're surrounded by 15 or 20, not 4 or 5, which we can train for fairly easily, and I'll talk about that. But you're surrounded by 15 or 20 people with the possibility of 40 or 50 more closing in very quickly at the sound of a gunshot. Would you attempt to protect yourself with your firearm? So to use your firearm, you would have to believe your life was threatened or you were in serious danger of bodily harm. If you did use your firearm, what would you predict would be the next step from the crowd surrounding you? Now think about what you would do. At what point would you take action? What would be the crowd's reaction? Remember, there could be 40 or 50 people around you. So develop a plan. This is why we visualize, so that this will help us develop a plan if we ever find ourselves in this type of situation. Folks, next week we're going to talk about the Korth Nighthawk 44 revolver. I'll finish up about the Ghirardelli. We'll talk about self-defense, and we'll finish up about the CZ rifles. It's been great to talk to you all, and I'll be back next week.
This has been Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or past episodes of Shooter's Corner, go to KFARradio.com and click on the archives page. For more Shooter's Corner on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. KFAR 660 AM, Fairbanks. K248DK 97.5 FM, Fairbanks. The heartbeat of Alaska.